Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Then you know it can be a struggle to find comfort in your body. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's a phenomenon. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 434.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and this week in our fourth of the 5 episodes recorded at Psychotherapy Networker in partnership with PESI, I was so fortunate to interview someone I really respect and admire, recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award at this year's Psychotherapy Networker, Dr. Janina Fisher. I have to tell you, it's funny that we were talking about shame, and I was so rattled during and after our conversation because we had so many, my tech setup had so many technical problems with the sound, and Dr. Fisher was graceful and patient like she is, but unfortunately, this was a very short conversation because only 20 minutes of it was recorded. And so I think what we were talking about is very interesting. I thought it was very interesting as a trauma survivor and a trauma therapist. We were talking about shame as an adaptation to help children when they need to be seen and not heard. You know that expression, children should be seen and not heard. Children are usually heard because they're noisy, they're chaotic, they're wild, they're running around, they're doing whatever they feel like doing, they're screaming, they're yelling, crashing into things, breaking stuff. And that's normal behavior of kids, but so many families can't tolerate the exuberance and life force of a child due to the parents' challenges with, you know, whether it's their own trauma history, the stressors that they're dealing with. It's just too much. And many parents would be abusive to silence their children. And others, it's more of an attachment process where you don't get approval when you're being noisy and being a kid, but you do get approval when you are stifling the emotions that your parent can't handle. So in this conversation, as brief as it is, you'll hear Dr. Janina Fisher talking about how she, a little glimpse of how she was teaching about shame at the Networker this year. And of course, in the show notes, we have a link to some discounted offers from PESI to learn from Dr. Fisher with her home study courses through them. But she talks about how shame is an adaptation, how it develops and why, and how it's also getting in the way in adulthood when people come to therapy, as I described from my own experience, how shame was there affecting me, but it was kind of hidden. And she pointed out that for many people, that is the one of the last layers of healing that needs to happen. And I will say too, from my own experience and that of clients I've worked with, that there's so much grief in recognizing the way that shame has prevented us from living in our full expression. And there's hope, because once you realize that that's what's going on, and it's not true, as she says, that you, quote, didn't deserve. In other words, you know, when you feel like there's something wrong with you and you aren't deserving of the love and kindness and the good things in life and the things that you want, the achievements that you would like to make, the things you would like to try, and you feel like, well, that's not for me. It's very liberating and empowering to decouple that from true sense of who you are. So I'm so grateful to Dr. Janina Fisher for being my guest on Therapy Chat today. She is such a leader in our field. I have learned from her so much. And one of our TTN members, John Lee, gets a shout out in this episode. So I invite you to settle in and get curious about shame, how it might be showing up in your life, and if you're a therapist, how it also might be showing up in your clients' lives, and think about these ideas that she shares for working with shame, and then go and learn more from all of the wonderful trainings that Dr. Janina Fisher offers, including the ones in the link in the show notes, which are discounted for you. Thank you, as always, for listening. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat, broadcasting live from Psychotherapy Networker. And now I'm so grateful and happy to be sitting with someone who I just look up to so much, and Therapy Chat guest, Dr. Janina Fisher. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
You were just honored with like a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
Congratulations.
It made me feel very old and reminded me that, you know, I never set out to achieve anything. I just set out to try to improve the quality of trauma treatment and educate trauma therapists, because there is just, as you know, such a need for it.
Oh, yeah. And you have achieved, even though you didn't set out to, so much. And your voice, you know, and I'm especially glad as a woman that you are out here with other great leaders like Pat Ogden, really, you know, changing the therapy world from your own unique perspective and the trauma therapy world. So I know your work isn't done, but I'm very grateful for everything that you have done and that I've learned from you, the TIST model. I'll just tell you real quick. I have a membership community, and I went to dinner with some of the members of the community. And one of them is someone who's certified in TIST. I don't know if you'll remember John Lee. And
of course.
Yeah.
And John was wonderful.
Yes. And John was like, I'm going to be assisting Janina, and talking about how it had changed their practice. And it's just, you know, I mean, these are like the ways that we connect as therapists who really care about helping people heal after trauma. And just, I think feeling the impact that we all have is very heartening for the future of the work and our sustainability in the field.
Right. We know so much more than we ever knew 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 years ago, actually. If I think, no, it couldn't be 40. I'm not that old. Yeah, but 30 something years ago.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what are you doing here at Psychotherapy Network besides receiving awards and being admired by so many people?
Well, I'm teaching two workshops on two of my favorite topics. One is a workshop on trauma-related shame and how to understand shame and address it more successfully than we're usually able to help people do. And the other workshop is a workshop on traumatic memory.
Well, that, you know, the shame piece is something that I think we hear about shame, but I don't know how well people really understand it and how it relates to trauma. But it's, you know, as a trauma survivor, I think for myself, I've realized how much I was really driven by shame for so long. And to me, it's like attachment related, but then it, you know, adds the traumatic experiences I've had beyond childhood and adulthood, you know, and there's just this feeling of like, if I had done something differently, if I had been different, this wouldn't have happened, or the way I feel is my fault, you know?
Right. And so, what led me to create the workshop is just seeing how deeply embedded the shame is, and how for many people, luckily not for you, it really is like an obstacle to having a full, rich life. They're always held back by the beliefs that they're worthless, by the, you know, the feeling of I don't want to be seen, and by the feelings of I don't deserve to feel good about myself. So from a trauma perspective and an attachment perspective, shame is a way, it's an adaptation to trauma and attachment failure. That's the whole point of the workshop, is understanding shame as a survival response, rather than tying it to the details of what happened. Mm. So mostly we have tended as a field to focus on when you're treated abusively, you feel shame, and that shame lasts and lasts and lasts, as opposed to when you're treated abusively, shame enables you to submit at ages where you're too young to fight back, too young to protest, it's too dangerous to cry. And the shame allows you to comply, adapt, be the child that gets a few more attachment crumbs. And so that is a whole different perspective on shame, and much more easily treatable. Mm. I mean, I spend years telling people, it's not your shame, it's the perpetrator's shame. And it just went over their heads. Yeah. It was not, you know, they couldn't process.
Yeah.
This, in retrospect, it was kind of an intellectual idea that the perpetrator should be ashamed, and they were carrying the perpetrator's shame. It just changes the whole conversation when you start to look at shame as a way they survive, and to celebrate it as a survival response, which still helps them to be in a different relationship to it. And that's really my perspective, I think really somatically informed perspective, that whatever we're feeling, we need to have a relationship with it rather than drown in it. Yeah. And so often people drown in their feelings, which makes them more phobic of those feelings, which, you know, often triggers shame. And so once you establish a relationship to a feeling, it gives you more creative freedom for how to kind of what to do with it. Mm. And to look to to look at I don't deserve as an adaptation as opposed to a truth really changes the whole way of relating to shame.
The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is the EMDR therapy training brainchild of Dr. Jamie Marich, a clinician and author who's on a mission to confront stigma around mental health, trauma, and dissociation. The Institute, informed by Jamie's work, teaches a somatic, expressive, bottom-up approach to EMDR therapy that does not treat dissociation like a dirty word. ICM empowers their students to navigate dissociation as a normal response to trauma and stress when it shows up. Dr. Jamie Marich is out and proud on various levels about her own recovery and is a strong believer in the healing capacities of EMDR therapy and helping our clients to heal from the impact of trauma. I and two of my team members have been trained by the Institute for Creative Mindfulness directly with Jamie, and I was impressed with how dissociation really was treated as just a normal aspect of trauma therapy work, which it is. Both Jamie and the consultants were matter of fact about if and when dissociation arises, it's okay, it's normal, and here's how you can help the client in that situation. The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is offering a coupon code to save 15% off any program offered by ICM. This includes their EMDR therapy basic training programs and a wide variety of their home study, advanced topics, and other CE offerings. Go to instituteforcreativemindfulness.com and use promo code 15OFF for listeners. There's a link in the show notes. You can copy the promo code and use the link right there in the show notes to make it easy.
Sometimes it's the small actions we take that make big differences in our lives. Noticing glimmers can make such a change in my mood to say, what else is here? And I can always notice other things that give me that little positive spark in my life, and they kind of stitch together in the day to change my whole outlook. One small change that has big benefits is taking care of your gut health to support whole body well-being. Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I like taking Seed because it's portable, it doesn't have to be refrigerated, it's easy to incorporate into my daily routine, and it makes me feel better just knowing I'm taking it. Trust your gut with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/living and use code 25LIVING to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/living. Code 25LIVING.
Yeah, as I think about it, it's like, you know, it's one thing when I'm thinking from my therapist brain.
Right.
And it's another thing when I'm thinking from my own experiences of my life, like, when you think about, when I think about shame, I know that for many years, I was phobic of feeling ashamed because it's like you feel ashamed that you're ashamed.
Exactly. You know? It's what I call shame of shame. And it's this vicious circle where it confirms your worst fears about yourself, which triggers more shame, which reinforces all those beliefs, which reinforces the shame. And it's what I call the vicious circle of shame and more shame. And for so many people, when you're trapped in it, I mean, I've worked with clients who literally can't do more than go to work and come home because the shame makes them so avoidant of everything. You know, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because that shame-related belief, I don't deserve, means that people don't treat themselves as deserving. And so the more we treat ourselves as undeserving, the more undeserving we feel. So it really, I mean, I see shame as a huge obstacle to healing. And it's interesting for you to say it was kind of the last thing to heal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's true for many, many, many people.
Do you have any, I mean, I know many things, and you can riff on anything I ask you, I'm sure, but how do we work with that? You know, when people don't, it feels like you don't know you're having shame. You think you are worthless.
Right. I always start by we're trained to respond empathically. Like it's so hard to feel you don't deserve anything. But that doesn't challenge the shame. If anything, it reinforces it because it says it sucks to feel so much shame, but it doesn't in any way challenge the feeling that the shame is true. And so what I like to do is to start by reflecting back. Instead of empathy, I reflect back. You know, that's an ingenious belief. That's a brilliant survival strategy. And the clients go, huh? And so I'm looking for the huh. I'm looking for that little bit of confusion because that means I disrupted this kind of closed circuit. And they look, what? And I say, that's a brilliant survival strategy. Because if you don't deserve, you're going to comply. You're going to pour oil on the troubled waters. You're going to make sure that you don't ruffle anybody's feathers. And that's it. So that's kind of the beginning of the conversation. I find that if I tried just taking a more mindfulness-based approach, which I really believe, but when I would say, oh, you're having the thought you don't deserve, they'd say, you don't understand. It's not a thought. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of stuck as a therapist because you can have a conversation where you're saying, no, it's not the truth. And the client says, it is the truth.
Yeah.
Right? So I found that what works the best is just this really repetitive, brilliant. And how did that help you survive? What would have happened to you if you hadn't had the shame? And then they start to actually think, yeah, what would have happened to me without the shame? And most people pretty quickly say, oh, you know, if I hadn't had the shame, I might have failed to be, you know, seen and not heard. Right? So the shame is a highly effective, really somatic intervention that allows children are not good at being seen and not heard. They really suck at it.
Yeah.
As you know. And so you need the shame to keep you seen and not heard. And again, there's no kind of ta-da, brilliant insight moment, but if I always say it took many, many, many repetitions to reinforce the shame, it's going to take many repetitions to overcome it.
Yeah.
But as a therapist, you can be patient with all those repetitions if you're not having to sit and listen to somebody beat themselves up week after week after week after week. I think that's very, very tiring and demoralizing as a therapist. See your client suffering in that way. And there's really not much you can say that doesn't get met with some fight to keep the shame, which I also think is a survival strategy. Because I think the body and the mind tend to hold on to the survival strategies that allowed us to get through.
Yeah. It's like, I can see how it's protective in a way. It's adaptive, it's protective in like keeping you from, is your position in the way you're teaching about this that the shame is, well, let me just ask you, what's the function of the shame? How is it helping?
Well, it isn't helping now because, you know, when clients are past the point of needing to survive and please people who could be dangerous or could abandon them, which is the fear in attachment failure, it's necessary it isn't necessary at the point that we usually see clients. Yeah. At that point, it's holding them back.
Yeah.
But to change their relationship to it requires helping them appreciate that without it, they literally, in some cases, could have been killed.
Yeah. So it's to avoid being abused. You become submissive.
Right.
And it may not look like submissive to the outside, but that's the process.
Right. And we know, you know, whether you take a polyvagal point of view or an animal survival defense point of view, you know, in the end, every model of survival defense contains a submission response. Because, you know, children, victims of domestic violence, are literally trapped. And so they can't fight, they can't flee, they can't socially engage. All they can do is submit.
So would you say a little bit about, for, say, an adult who's going to therapy, how would they know, what would shame look like showing up in their life?
I mean, sometimes it's very, they come in saying, I'm so ashamed. Or they come in and say, my boss yelled at me at work and I'm so ashamed. Somebody bumped into me on the street and I apologized 10 times. Mm-hmm. or I've just been preoccupied with how worthless I am. You know, why would I expect that people would like me when I'm so worthless? So it usually comes up in the story that the client is telling in each session.
Yeah, yeah. And, but it sounds like you're also talking about, like, maybe, because I think, I'll say, clients that I have worked with over my time as a therapist, there's often a very likable personality that you are working with, and you're like, they're saying I hate myself, but they seem so pleasant and so likable, and you're like, I don't get it. What's the disconnect here, you know?
Right. And usually the therapist tries to challenge the shame by saying, but you're not those things, right? I don't experience you that way. And the client fights us. You don't understand. I thought you understood. Mm. How could you say I'm a nice person if you really truly understood me? So usually it doesn't work. I mean, that's what's, I think, so frustrating for therapists is the, you know, the relationship works well for fear, for anger, for sadness. It doesn't work for shame because our experience of the client doesn't fit with the client's reality.
Yeah,
right.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.